They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent His only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended His life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
We are today continuing our sermon series, What Role Should the Government Play in Natural Disaster Relief? And this is in the wake of two hurricanes coming through Florida. And we know that there was a declaration of a state of emergency and natural disaster. And what happens when this happens is it sets in motion a procedure where federal dollars can come in to help out people who are in need. But we look to the Bible because God created government. You see, God created you, and because He created you, you are then subject to His commandments. This is the very reason why those who don't believe that God has created the heavens and the earth, this is the primary reason. In fact, it was the reason that Charles Darwin came up with the idea of evolution. And yet, when we look at the complexity of the universe, the complexity of our bodies, it is highly unlikely, in fact, almost impossible, if not really, it is impossible, that nothing could create everything by an explosion and then random chance and genetic mutation. Really, just in science and in history, in what we can actually observe, what we have observed with genetic mutations, they always lead to further problems. They don't lead to something that's better. They actually lead to something that's worse. We'll go over that in another sermon. But because God did create us, we are then subject to His commandments. The same is true for governments. Because God created governments, then governments are subject to God and His principles. And in fact, when governments violate His commandments, they are then turned over to His wrath. And that's why you see, in fact, the Bible even talks about, and we've talked about this, that the land actually vomits forth its inhabitants. So when you start seeing floods, and when you start seeing hurricanes, when you start seeing natural disasters, when you start seeing tornadoes, when you start seeing wildfires, these are examples of creation that is groaning and has been subjected to our futility, to our sin, not willingly, but because God has subjected creation, because there are some that will repent and God is having mercy, but there reaches a point where the land is polluted, and what you actually have is you have God's judgment in the form of creation rebelling against the land, or rebelling against the wickedness, and creation rising up to expel the wicked. And so when we look at the Bible, and we have talked in previous weeks, if you've missed those sermons, you can actually go to our church website, covenanttabernacle.com, our church Facebook page, Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center, or our church YouTube channel, and you can actually watch those previous sermons. But when we look at the Bible, and we see that God actually never advocates taking money from some or taking money from everyone and giving money to some, or taking money from some and giving it to another group. Never advocates, and really what we're talking about in America, we're not even talking about taking money from everyone and giving it to some. What we're really talking about is we're borrowing money. Whenever we're spending more than is coming in, we're borrowing money. And so what you actually see is we're actually taking money from future generations who then will have to pay back what is being spent on natural disasters in current generations. But in the Bible, we only see one example of government intervention, and that was in a natural disaster, and that was the 7 years of plenty in the land of Egypt, followed by 7 years of famine. And Joseph, who was the wisest man at the time, was over that. He oversaw that. And even with a wise, godly man in oversight of that, you actually saw free people become slaves at the end. And yet, that even was not an example of the government taking money from some or from everyone and giving it to some. What you actually see is that everyone contributed grain to that program, and then everyone had to buy back that grain with their money. And when their money was gone, they bought back the grain with their cattle. And when their cattle was gone, they bought back the grain with their land. And at the end, they were Pharaoh's servants, not owning. They started with money, they started with cattle, they started with land, they ended with none of that. They were Pharaoh's servants working to pay taxes to land, and that, or to pay taxes to Pharaoh, because Pharaoh owned the land. And that actually was the first ever institution of property tax. There you see it in the Bible, the result of a government program. But we talked 2 weeks ago, actually, about God's judgment and why God judges, different reasons that God judges individuals, different reasons that God judges nations. And one of the things that we saw is that God judges individuals and nations to punish sin. And God also judges nations and individuals, especially nations, when the land is defiled, as we talked about. And you can read in Leviticus chapters 18 and 20 that the land of Canaan, before the Israelites, or as the Israelites were preparing to come in to the Canaan land, God warned them about certain sins and said, do not commit these sins, because of these sins, the land is defiled, and the land vomits forth its inhabitants. And if you commit these same sins, the land will vomit you forth as well. Now, you may look at that and you may say, well, you know, I don't really believe that that's fair. Well, you know what? You're not the one that creates the rules. God is. God is the creator of heaven and earth. He is righteous. And if you, being a man, challenge him, well, good luck, because God will always win. We need to look at the Bible and see what God has to say and apply biblical principles to our lives and to our families, to our church, to our churches, to our state, our city, our county, our nation, and to all the nations of the earth. We also see that God judges individuals and especially nations when innocent blood is shed. And we looked in 2 Kings chapter 24, verses 2 through 4, where because of the sins of Manasseh, the Bible says that he filled Jerusalem with very much innocent blood. What was this? This was the blood of their sons and daughters, the blood of the sons and daughters of the people of Israel. By the way, one of the sins that God warns them about in Leviticus 18 and 20 is child sacrifice, infant sacrifice. And what they were doing with Molech is they were committing, or they were procreating. And certainly if that's with husbands and wives, there's nothing wrong with that. But the children that come about through that are blessings and should be cherished. And in fact, they're the heritage of the Lord. Yet the Israelites were worshiping foreign gods, the gods of Baal and Moloch and Asherah. And they were actually coming, and they were taking their sons and their daughters and giving them to the priest of Baal, or the priest of Molech, or the priest of Asherah. And the priests were then taking their sons and their daughters and burning them in the fire. And you may say, well, we're not doing that today. Well, have you heard about abortion? Have you heard about what is happening with abortion? Where we have killed the blood, we have shed the blood of over 67 million preborn children through abortion for our convenience, so that people can engage in procreation very often without with someone that they're not married to. But even when that procreation is with someone that they're married to, again, the children are a blessing, and the children should not be killed. Yet we have actually shed the blood of over 67 million preborn children. And even after the overturn of Roe versus Wade, abortion is still happening in America. And in the state of Florida, it's happening even more than it was before, as women from other surrounding states that can't get an abortion in those states are flooding into our state. And our state has become a haven for abortionists, and a haven. It's become a state where women actually schedule abortion vacations. They actually come from other states paying a plane fare and flying in or driving in to Pensacola or Jacksonville or Orlando or Miami or Fort Lauderdale or West Palm Beach or Fort Pierce or Port St. Lucie, one of the other cities, Tampa Bay, St. Petersburg, one of the other cities where abortion happens, and actually paying an abortionist to rip their babies limb from limbs and crush their skulls. And, you know, you might even think, well, you know, that's those people out there. It's not me. Well, here, get this. About two-thirds of those women claim to be Christians, claim to, in fact, go to church on a regular basis. This is something that and God holds us accountable for stopping this, for protecting innocent human life. And when a nation is polluted, when that blood is shed, that blood cries from the ground for vengeance. And we have shown from the Bible the only way to silence that blood that is crying from the ground for vengeance is, for one, for the legal prosecution of the perpetrator of the crime. And not just the prosecution, but upon conviction, the execution of that person who committed the murder. In America, in most cases, we are too kind to put someone who has murdered someone to death. We are much too kind to execute them in most cases. Yet that's what the Bible says needs to happen. And in cases where there was a unsolved murder, the elders of the nearest city had to come together, and they had to make a sacrifice, and they had to be able to pray, God, our hands have not shed this blood. In other words, we were not involved in this murder. They also had to be able to pray, nor did we know about it. Because if they did know about it, they had a duty, they had an obligation to stop it. And God even says in Proverbs chapter 24, that we are to rescue those who are unjustly sentenced to death. In America, even if you haven't personally been involved in abortion, and there are many people listening today that have been involved in abortion, and if you have been involved in abortion, you need to know that God will forgive you if you repent of your sin. And you need to repent of your sin, because what you did in paying an abortionist, or maybe working in an abortion mill, or maybe you even are an abortionist, what you did was horrible and something that should never happen in our country, and something that we should not tolerate in our country, especially the most defenseless among our members, actually putting them to death. And so repent of your sins, cry out to God and ask God to forgive you, and contact a pro-life pregnancy center about getting into a abortion recovery group. That we will also cover some new territory today, that God judges individuals and nations to reveal his power and his wrath. And this is something that many people, you know, people might say, well, God is love. And certainly God is love. But read the Bible. In fact, search the Bible. Do a search. Just go out and look. You can go to various websites where you can actually do a search for the Bible. There are apps that you can install on your smartphone, your smart tablet, or on your computer where you can actually do a search. And many of these are actually totally free. But you can do a search for the phrase God is. You will be surprised, because God is light. And he is holy. He is righteous. Because he is light, because he is holy, because he is righteous, God judges sin. And he actually is a God of wrath. And it's a good thing to be a God of wrath when someone is wicked. It's good that God is angry with the wicked. And the wicked, by the way, has an opportunity to repent. But if the wicked does not repent, he has to face God's wrath and God's judgment. And we read in Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse 15, "For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For Scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills he hardens. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory, even on us, even us whom he called, not of the Jew only, but also of the Gentiles." And here we see that God sometimes raises up an individual or even a nation and withholds his restraining power and allows that nation to practice wickedness, so that he can then show forth his power and he can show forth his wrath upon that nation. Such a nation was the nation of Egypt, and such a person was the man Pharaoh who was the Pharaoh at that time. You may recall, and I would encourage you, this might not, by the way, sit well with you. In fact, what we're talking about today may not fit in with what you believe, and it may not fit in with the doctrine that you've been taught. But I would encourage you to not listen to what other people say. Certainly listen to other people and learn from them, but don't take what they say as the Bible. Look at the Bible yourself. Read the Bible yourself. Study the Bible yourself. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And read the entire Bible. You know, you're not going to get a complete view of God and what he believes and what you should believe about life just by reading a verse a day or even reading a chapter a day. You are going to need to get into the Word of God and live in the Word of God, abide in the Word of God, meditate upon it, memorize it, read chapters a day, and meditate upon it, memorize it, think about it throughout the day, ponder upon it, and consume the Word of God. Look at this as your spiritual food, just like you want to eat every single day. And in fact, many of us, most of us, eat multiple meals every single day. Well, shouldn't you do the same for your spiritual life? Get into the Word of God, read it from cover to cover, and you're not going to get it all in one time. You're not going to understand it all the first time you go through it, but read it and reread it, and every time you read it, compare what you believe with what you're reading. And if you see something that contradicts what you believe, well, you need to dig further. You need to find out what is it that this Bible is trying to tell me, and be willing to change your belief and conform your belief to the Word of God, instead of what most people do is they actually try to twist the Word of God to fit their belief. And when I was a young man, I actually had a Bible that my parents gave me when I was 13, and I had different highlighters, different colored highlighters. I had green meant one thing, and yellow meant another thing, and red meant another thing, or pink meant one thing, and I had a purple and a light blue, and these all meant something. But really, when I got to Romans, and it actually was interesting, when I got to Romans chapters 7 and 8 and 9, I realized that there was a lot of that section, especially Romans 9, that I didn't have a single highlight on. And it was almost like I had highlighted it in black so that I couldn't see the letters. I mean, I read it. I knew that it didn't, my doctrine didn't line up with it. I didn't understand it. I read it again the next time I went through that passage. The next time I went through that passage, I read it again. And finally, I realized, you know, there's something here, and it doesn't line up with my beliefs, so I need to change my beliefs. And when you look at the account of Moses and Israel and Egypt and Pharaoh, you will see Moses asking Pharaoh to let his people go, the people of God go, that they might serve God. And it's interesting that it was very clear from looking at that passage that God didn't want them to just go for a day or two or three to sacrifice to God. Yet one of the things that's interesting is that's all they were asking for. That's all they were asking Pharaoh for. Yet Pharaoh would not let them go. And Pharaoh would say, well, you can go, but your kids can't go. Or you can go, but your cattle can't go. He was trying to keep part of them back so that they would come back and continue. See, they were slaves. They were slaves to Egypt. He wanted to continue to have them under slavery. He wanted to continue to have the free work of the Israelites. Yet they asked God, they asked Pharaoh, let my people go that they might serve me. And several times the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And you see, we all are capable of hardening our hearts, and the wicked will harden their hearts. But two or three times the Bible actually says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Why did he harden Pharaoh's heart? Well, as it says here, and as the Bible is actually using Pharaoh as an example, For this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. So there are sometimes, and he goes on and actually says that what if God, wanting to show forth his wrath, wanting to show forth his power, puts up with evil and allows evil to happen for a short period of time so that he might be able to show forth his wrath, that he might be able to show forth his power. This is exactly what happened with Pharaoh, where God, even because God didn't want to just let Israel go for a day or two or three, he didn't just want for them to go out and sacrifice and then come back and be slaves for the rest of eternity, for time and generation upon generation upon generation. God wanted his people to be free. He wanted his people to no longer be slaves. And God actually even hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he might show his power and show his wrath. And this made such an impact. What happened to the nation of Egypt and what happened to Pharaoh made such an impact that after Israel had wandered through the wilderness for over 40 years because of their disobedience, even after that, when they were preparing to conquer the Canaan land, the people of Canaan were terrified against them. They were afraid because of what had happened 40 years earlier. And God sometimes wants to show forth his power and wants to show forth his wrath, and he is willing to actually stop restraining evil for a short period of time, to not allow his wrath to put a stop to that, but so that he might show forth his wrath and his mercy in an individual or in a nation. And we will take this up again next week, where we will look at some other reasons why God does judge individuals and nations. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
They say this is the most wonderful time of the year. Why? Because God sent his only begotten Son into the world. He came as a babe in a manger, but ended his life dying on the cross so that your sins and my sins can be forgiven. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I invite you to repent of your sins and cry out to God for salvation through Jesus Christ.
Mystery. Here you are, holy Lord, the deeper love I'm longing for. I can plan, I can dream, wondering what tomorrow will bring.